إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. We give thanks to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May the blessing and peace be upon the noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This inshaAllah is going to be the continuation of the explanation of the book Usul Sunnah by Al-Imam Ahmad bin Ambal alayhi rahmatullah. The Sheikh says, وَتَرْكُ الْخُصُومَاتِ فِي الدِّينِ. Part of Sunnah, that is the foundations of Sunnah, is تَرْكُ الْخُصُومَاتِ فِي الدِّينِ, is to avoid disputes concerning the religion. This is a very great principle that Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they don't engage in fruitless argument. It is only argument that is beneficial that they engage in. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ, and debate with them, بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ, with that which is the best. Likewise Allah says, وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْهُمْ, and do not debate the people of the scripture except in the best way, except those who are wrongdoers among them. So if you look at these verses, they established that al-jidal billati ahsan is part and parcel of the deen. Is part and parcel of the deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اُدْعُوا إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمُعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي أَحْسَنَ. So any person that wants to give da'wah, that wants to invite people to Islam, to Sunnah, he has to do that بِالْحِكْمَةِ, with wisdom. And doing something with wisdom is to know when to say something, how to say it, and to also look at the personality of the person that you are saying this to. Wisdom entails all this. What to say, how to say it, where to say it, and the personality of the person that you are addressing matters in conveying the truth. The way you address somebody who is in authority It's not the way you address somebody who is a layman. What you can say in a gathering may not be advisable in another gathering. You are going to tell the truth, but you must look at the place that you are going to tell the truth. How to say it. You look at the caliber of those who are around. So this will tell you how to present the truth. So ادعي إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة. So الموعظة الحسنة, you admonish the person, for instance, this is not permissible in the deen, this is haram, this is wajib, this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids it. الموعظة الحسنة. Then at times, وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي أَحْسَنَ, debate them, بِالَّتِي أَحْسَنَ, that is, with the best debate, by bringing evidences to convince the person that what you are debating, without being harsh on the person. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَوْمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَدُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكِ. Allah says it is part of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are soft with them, you are lenient with them. If you have been firm, غَلِيظُ الْقَلْبِ, somebody who has been harsh, if you have been somebody that has been harsh in what, in address, somebody who had a very harsh, don't find them in howlik, they would have dispersed from around you. So, وَجَادِلُمْ بِلَّتِي إِيَ أَحْسَنِ, and debate them in the best way. So you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, وَلَا تُجَادِلُ أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي إِيَحْسَنِ, and do not debate the people of the scripture except in the best way. That even when you want to debate the non-Muslims, you should also be lenient, be soft, because your intention is that what? They embrace the truth. Not that because you want to destroy them. You want them to enter Al-Jannah. So you don't do things that you make them run away from the da'wah. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْهُمْ, except those who are wrongdoers among them. That is, those who are not interested in the truth. So it is only people like this that you'll be harsh on. But ordinarily, you are to be lenient with people in your da'wah. Except where harshness is required. So this is what Al-Jidalu Al-Mahmud, the praiseworthy jidal. But jidal that is what, that does not benefit, Islam is against that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man talaba al-ilma liyujariya bihi al-ulama wa liyumariya bihi al-sufaha aw liyasrifa bihi wujuh an-nas ilayhi adkhala Allahu an-nar." Whoever seeks for knowledge with the intention of competing with the scholars, he wants to debate the scholars, he wants to be in the same level, on the same pedestal with the scholars, that is the reason why he's searching for knowledge, so that you debate them. How? لِيُمَارِيَ بِكِسُ فُهَا, or to argue with the foolish ones. just to make himself big in the presence of the foolish ones. أو ليصرف به وجوه الناس إليه, or to turn the faces of the people to himself, that he wants to gain their attention so that the people will also recognize him as a big malam in the town. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أدخل الله النار, Allah will make him enter hell. نسأل الله العافية والسلام. So مجارات العلماء ومراء السفهاء, competing with the scholars, having debates with them, likewise arguing with the foolish ones, this is al-jidal al-mazmum. This type of debate or argument is blameworthy, it's not praiseworthy, and this is what the Shaykh Ali Rahmatullah is referring to here. Part of the usul of Sunnah is that you don't embark on needless and fruitless debate. Any person who embarks on needless and fruitless debate, such a person is contradicting, is going against one of the usul of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So don't do al-khusumat fi al-deen, that is having disputation concerning our religion. You only discuss, you debate somebody who is interested in benefiting, not somebody who just wants to argue blindly, somebody who is not interested in knowledge, is not interested in the truth, is just arguing for argument's sake. So this doesn't have what place in Islam. It is against the Sunnah. And that is why one of the Salaf said, من جعل دينه غرضا للخصومات أكثر تنقل. Whoever makes his own religion as a target for disputes, أكثر تنقل, he will just be moving from one position to another, maybe from one sect to another. Some people, they've tested a lot of firq, a lot of jama'at, from one jama'at to another, from one jama'at to another, as a result of just arguing, not as a result of what? Seeing the truth. You know, at times you may belong to a jama'at thinking the truth is with them, but later you discover that there are certain things that are faulty, that are against the sunnah in that jama'at, then you leave. This is not what you are talking about. But some people, it's a result of arguing. When they argue, they leave this jama'ah, they go to another jama'ah. Argument. So, man ja'ala deenahu gharadan lil khusumat akthar tanakkul. So somebody who loves argument. So you see him moving from one firqa to another firqa, from one jama'ah to another jama'ah, from one hizb to another hizb, because it's somebody that is very argumentative, somebody who is interested in argument. So, and that's what we have to check our intention. When you are you arguing because you want to know the truth, or because you want to promote yourself? If you want to know the truth, the adab, the etiquette of somebody who is debating must be in you. You are ready to listen to your opponent. And what you'll be expecting from the person is to tell you this is what the salaf are upon. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qala sahaba, this is what the tabi'un are upon. Anything other than this is not what you should fall for. To know who is upon the truth is simple. What does the Quran say? What does the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Watch. What are the companions? What were they upon? The Salafus Salih. This is our deen. So when you are debating with somebody with the intention of knowing the truth, not just for argument's sake, not because I don't want to be defeated. Most of the problems that we have today in Islam is blind arguments. Somebody argues. Even when the truth has become clear to him, he will continue to argue, or she will continue to argue, because he or she does not want to accept defeat. But the truth should be what we are looking for. As long as somebody is able to take us back to the truth, to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, to watch the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what the companions are upon, the person has really assisted us and we have benefited from that person. But for one to say, if I should now submit or accept what he has said, it should make me appear as having been defeated. So this will make him to continue to argue blindly. And this will make him fall under what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man talaba al-ilma, he yujariya bi al-ulama, aw li yumariya bi al-sufaha, aw li yasrifa wujuh an-nas ilayhi, adkhalahu Allah nar." So fruitless arguments, unnecessary arguments. That is born out of the intention to overcome the other person is not encouraged by the Sunnah. It goes against the usul of Sunnah. So that's why the Imam said, وَتَرْكُ الْخُصُومَاتِ وَتَرْكُ الْخُصُومَاتِ فِي الدِّينِ. And avoiding al-khusumat, needless disputes, needless arguments in the deen. And this is the attribute of the innovators. All the different sects that we have today and that were in the past, they were as a result of what? Not submitting themselves to the truth when it became clear to them. So with this, they started dividing into different sects. And they started coming up with khusumat, with disputes, unnecessary arguments, useless arguments. So they started coming up with this just to promote themselves. So when somebody is doing this, know that the person is treading the way of the people of innovation. And we should avoid people like that. We should avoid them. You don't argue with somebody who is arguing for just arguments. With somebody that you know from a statement that is not interested in knowing the truth. So why do you continue to argue with such a person? You are wasting your time and you are also violating the athlete. You are violating the athlete. You only argue with somebody that wants to know the truth. You want to know the truth. So you argue with somebody that wants to know the truth. But somebody who wants to defeat you, his intention is to defeat you, not to know the truth, not to establish the truth. You don't argue with such a person. You don't debate such a person. This is against what? Sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَدْ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ أَنْ إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ يُكْفَرُ بِهَا وَيُسْتَهْزَأُ بِهَا فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعَهُمْ حَتَّى يَقُولُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ إِنَّكُمْ إِذًا مِثْلُهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَامِعُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْكَافِرِينَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ جَمِيعًا. In this verse, Allah said, He has revealed to you in the book, that is in the Quran, and إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ, when you hear the ayat of Allah, the verses of Allah, the ones that have to do with ahkam, the rulings, the laws, and the ones that have to do with maybe the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the information given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ وَقَدْ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ أَنْ إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ يُكْفَرُ بِهَا. When you hear people disbelieving in those verses, وَيُسْتَعْذَاهُ بِهَا, and they are making judge of these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَدْ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابَ أَنْ إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ يُغْفَرُ بِهَا وَيُسْتَعَذَهُ بِهَا فَلَا تَقْعُدُ مَعَهُمْ. Don't sit with them. حَتَّى يَقُولُ فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِ, until they go into other discussion. إِنَّكُمْ إِذًا مِثْلُهُمْ. If you continue to sit with them, despite this that they are doing, you are the same. إن الله جامع المنافقين والكافرين في جهنم جميعا. Allah is going to gather the hypocrites and the kuffar all in Jahannam. نسأل الله العافية والسلامة. When Allah say وقد نزل عليكم في الكتاب, He said Allah said He has revealed to you in the book. Scholars say Allah is referring to the verse وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ يَخُوضُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا فَاعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ. When you see people who are going into our verses, saying whatever they like, interpreting them the way they like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ, turn away from them. That is the ruling. You don't sit with them. فَإِمَّا يُسِيَنَّكَ الشَّيْطَانِ, if shaitan makes you forget, you're already sitting with them, فَلَا تَكْعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَ مَعَ الْكَوْبِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Don't continue to sit with them after you have watched, after you've remembered. Don't continue to sit with the ظَالِمُونَ, with the wrongdoers. Likewise, our mother Aisha radiallahu anha said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said concerning the verse, وَالَّذِي أَنْزَلَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْكِتَابُ مِنْهُ وَالَّذِي أَنْزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابُ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابُ وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويل وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله والراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا وما يذكر إلا أولي الألباب. This verse warning people, warning the Muslims against relating with those who are doing what? Who are saying things that go against the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or following things or verses that are ambiguous, leaving verses that are very clear. They hold on to the ambiguous verses in order to interpret it to suit their whims and caprices. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ. If you see people who follow what is ambiguous in the Quran, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ فَأُولَئِكَ الَّذِينَ سَمَّاهُمُ اللَّهُ أَوْ سَمَّى اللَّهُ. These are the people that Allah has mentioned in the Quran. فَحْذَرُوهُمْ. Avoid them. So which means you don't sit with the people of khusumat. The people of what? Khusumat, people of disputes. Those who just hold on to verses of the Quran or hold on to ahadith, their suits, their whims and caprices, leaving the words, the Ummul Kitab, leaving the clear verses. So they just like argument. So the basis is that you don't sit with them. And that's why a lot of shurah commenting on this hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha is a basis that the people of bid'ah should be avoided. So it is part and parcel of the usul of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah that you don't mix with the people of bid'ah. You avoid it. That is the basis. So if you are sitting with them, there must be what? A genuine reason for that. There must be a genuine reason for that. But for you not to see their evil as anything, you destroy yourself. You destroy yourself. So there are a lot of athar from the Salaf about this. Too many athar from Salaf. For instance, Muawiyah ibn Qurra, rahmahullahu ta'ala, said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَآذِي الْخُصُومَاتِ. He said, avoid this khusumat, that is all this jidal, all these unnecessary arguments in the deen. فَإِنَّا تُحْبِتُ الْأَعْمَالِ. They destroy your good deeds. You may not have time for good deeds. And even the good deeds that you do, if you are somebody that loves arguments, unnecessary arguments, so you have your good deeds destroyed. So Muawiyah ibn Qurra, one of the Tabi'un, he said, what? Iyakum wa hadhihi al-khusumat. Avoid this khusumat, fa inna asma'bitu al-a'mal. They destroy good deeds. And that's why scholars will say, the Ahlul Khusumat or Ahlul Bid'ah wal Ahwa, when it comes to abiding by the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are what? Qalil Diyan. That is a lot of them. Because what they busy themselves with is this argument. And that was one of them wrote when he repented. He said, وَلَمْ نَسْتَفِدْ مِنْ بَعْثِنَا طُولَ عُمْرِنَا سِوَا أَنْ جَمَعْنَا فِي كِلْوَقَانِ. That is all that we call bath, research. Our researches will not benefit anything from them. سِوَا أَنْ جَمَعْنَا فِي كِلْوَقَانِ. All you just gather there is كِلْوَقَانِ. That is nonsensical statements. That is what we gather, and we produce volumes. We waste our time writing all these things that are what? Against the Sunnah, against the Quran. We waste our time on this. Abu Qilaba, one of the Tabi'un, also said, لا تجالسوا أهل الأهواء. Don't sit with the people of desire. that is the people of Khusumat. أو قال أصحاب الخصومات فإني لا آمن أن يزمسوكم في ضلالات I fear they will plunge you in their watch misguidance. You may see somebody that is upright upon Sunnah, but when it starts to mix with the people of Bid'ah, with the people of Ahwa, it's carried away. It becomes a person of Ahwa. It is very easy for somebody who is upon Sunnah to go astray. Very easy. Somebody is upon Sunnah and tomorrow is the person upon Dalala because he has taken the people of Ahwa as his madkhal. These are the people that he will relate with. So eventually, they will affect him. وَيُلَبِّسُ عَلَيْكُمْ بَعْضَ مَا تَعْرِفُونَ They watch, they may confuse you. What you know to be truth before, they put you into confusion. Likewise, two men from the people of innovation, they enter upon Abu Bakr Muhammad bin Sirin, one of the Tabi'un. These two men, they said to him, Ya Abu Bakr, O Abu Bakr, that is Ibn Sirin. He said, Nuhadithuka bihadithin. We want to narrate a hadith to you. Two men from the people of innovation, they entered upon him. He said, Ya Abu Bakr, Nuhadithuka bihadithin. We want to narrate a hadith to you. Call Allah. He said, No, I don't want to hear anything from you. Call Afanakra alayka. Ayah. He said, okay, let's read a verse of the Quran to you. Call Allah. He said, no. Sallatakumani anni awlaakumanna ankuma. He says, should I leave this place? Now I leave. That is, I don't want to speak with you. Faqama. So both men left. Faqala ba'dul qawm. Some of the people seated said, Ya Abu Bakr, that is Ibn Sirin, وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَن تُقْرَ عَلَيْكَ آيَةٌ What's the problem? Is it not a verse of the Quran they want to recite to you? Someone who wants to recite a verse of the Quran to you, you say you don't want to hear. قَالْ خَشِيْتُ أَن تُقْرَ آيَةٌ أَوْ أَن تَقْرَ آيَةً I'm afraid that the two men, both of you, or Al-Yaqra Ayatan, that both of them read a verse. فَيُحَرِّفَانِهَا As a result, they watch, they will utter the verse. فَيَكِرُّ ذَلِكَ فِي قَلْبِ And that will not be watched. That will not have a place in my heart. Maybe they will recite the verse the way the verse is not. So, and what I take it from them like that. A lot of people have been affected. Somebody may say, so and so person, he knows Nahu very well, he knows Balaza, he knows the stuff. But, for instance, maybe he's what Dawu Ash'ari or Dawu Sufi. Because he wants to learn Nahu from him, he becomes what an Ash'ari. He wants to learn Balagha from him, he becomes what? A Sufi. And if he doesn't become a Sufi or an Ash'ari, he does not see evil in what? In the Aqidah. This is the fitna of a lot of people. He trivialized the Bid'ah of the Mubtada'ah as a result of benefiting one knowledge or the other from him. And that's why the Salaf, they will warn against this. It is not that there is any necessity, they avoid the innovators. They avoid them. And that's why they will talk among themselves, what is that is the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the hand of an innovator. Some Salaf say, don't go, don't take it. Some will say, okay, take it, but with caution. They differ among themselves, I mean the Salaf, because they protected the deen. But today people trivialize everything. So you see, they go in, go out with the innovators. And it's not how you wine and dine with the innovators, as far as the deen is concerned, that you not compromise the truth. So look at this. If Muhammad bin Sirin, alayhi rahmatullah, said, no, don't you fight any child, I don't want to hear. Is it not a hadith of the Prophet Allah? Is it not a verse of the Quran? Said, I'm afraid. If they recite that in the Yuharifaniha, they utter it. And when they utter it, فَيَكِرُّ ذَلِكَ فِي قَلْبِ, that will now have a kind of mark, a kind of trace in my heart. This is what one of the great scholars of the past. Then somebody who is not up to the level of those people will say, no, you can wine and dine with what the innovators. So there is no doubt, if you do that, you'll be affected. Now, we are not saying that there is no way you won't relate to it, then one way or the other. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَقَدْ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ أَنْ إِذَا سَمِيْتُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ يُكْفَرُ بِهَا وَيُسْتَعْذَأُ بِهَا فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعَهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ فَإِمَّا يُتِيَنَّكَ الشَّيْطَانُ And in the other verse, Allah said to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, فَإِمَّا يُتِيَنَّكَ الشَّيْطَانُ فَلَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَى مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. So, this is clear. And the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, it says, فَوَلَيْكَ الَّذِينَ سَمَّ اللَّهِ فَحْذَرُوهُمْ. He didn't say فَالْزَمُوهُمْ, he said فَأْذَرُوهُمْ, avoid them. So you don't engage in fruitless argument, then those who engage in fruitless arguments, unnecessary arguments, they shouldn't be people that you will be relating with, lest they affect you with their evil. So don't be like them. And don't move with them as far as the deen is concerned. There are a lot of examples from the lives of the Salaf. There was somebody called Imran bin Shaitan, a scholar of hadith. He became a Khariji because he loved a Kharijiya. There was a lady who was a Kharijiya who had the view, the position of the Khawarij, very beautiful girl. And Imran bin Hittan was somebody that was somehow ugly. So he loved this girl so much. And the girl was able to draw him into Kharijism. He became a Khariji to the extent that he composed a poem attacking Ali radiallahu anhu, praising the person that killed Ali radiallahu anhu. Say, Ya darbata min taqiyin ma arada biha illa liyabluga min dil arshi duana. Achim, he was praising the strife, so to say, of that man, the man that killed Ali, Abdurrahman bin Buljil. He said, that's right, he intended with it to get the pleasure of Ar-Rahman, to get the pleasure of the owner of the throne, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So likewise, there was somebody called Abu Dharr al-Harawi. Abu Dharr al-Harawi was a student of Al-Imam Dharqutni. Now there was a scholar called Al-Baqilani, he used to debate with the Christians and many other sects, that he would defeat them. So a lot of them benefited from his debate. So one day he was coming. When Adarakutni saw him. He said good things about him, he praised him, even kissed his head or something like that. And he said, this man, Allah has used him to uplift Islam. So after they dispersed, Abu Dhar al-Arawi, who was a student of Baqilani, went to meet Darakutni, went to meet al-Baqilani. And from this, he became an Ash'ari. Al-Baqilani never displayed to Darakutni that he was Ash'ari. The aspect that he knew about him was positive area. He never knew that he was hiding the Aqidah of the Ash'ariyah. But he was able to influence Abu Dhar al-Arawi. So Abu Dhar al-Arawi learned the Aqidah of the Ash'ariyah from al-Baqilani. And when some people from al-Maghrib al-Arabi, from areas like Morocco, Tunisia and the like, when they came to Hajj, they came to Mecca, they met Abu Dhar al-Arawi there. And from there, they also imbibed the Aqidah of the Ash'ariyah and they carried it to their place. Today, in North Africa, became Ash'ari area as a result of this event. During time of people like Ibn Abd al-Barr, who was from Spain, so those areas, they are like the same because they are very close. So there was nothing like that. Nothing like that. The common, the Aqidah that was commonplace then was the Aqidah of the Salaf. But as a result of this event, so for somebody to say, I can control myself, I know my way, it does not work for most people. Most people, they got carried away. So and that's why it is part and parcel of the Aqidah of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, part and parcel of the Usul, that you go away from khusumat. Don't embark on what? Fruitless argument, unnecessary argument, or argument because you just want to be known, or you just want to be said to have what, have defeated your opponent. Once that is coming to your mind, discontinue the argument. Let you follow the way of the people of innovation. This is the way of the Salaf. Sheikh Abdul Aziz, Abdullah ibn Baz, Ali Rahmatullah, there is this Mufti of Oman, Ahmed Khalil. He narrated it himself that he visited Saudi Arabia 1 year. He was invited by a minister or so. So when he got there, he said he wanted to visit Sheikh bin Baz in his office. He and some of his followers. So when they entered the office of the Sheikh called him and his people into a seclusion, trying to advise them of the Aqidah, that the Aqidah that they are upon. And part of the Aqidah is that they believe that on the day of Qiyamah, the believers will not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite the fact that there is evidence for that. But they believe that no, Allah will not be seen on the day of Qiyamah. Likewise, they say the Quran is the creation of Allah. What the Mu'tazil and the light, what they said. So that is the Aqidah of the Ibadiyah today. This Al-Khalili still existing today. So the Sheikh tried to advise him that you should justify this Aqidah. This Aqidah is wrong. Then he said to the Sheikh that if you saw Aqidah is wrong, let us have a debate. And the debate is going to be in a public place. Let us have a debate it was before the Kaaba, so that people can watch. It will be televised. So he said a lot of it. The Sheikh said, this is what the Sha'at will be there. If I debate with you in a public place like this, this is spreading bigger. He said, he said to the Sheikh, that means you are not upon the truth. But the Sheikh was avoiding what? Spreading innovation. Because some people will fall for him. If you have ever listened to a Mubtadi, an innovator, if you have a public debate with an innovator, don't think that the evidence that you bring to him, that he won't see some of the people, that some people that will say he also has points. And what? They fall for him, they go with him. Some innovators, they are interested in things like this. At least, if we do this maybe publicly, we debate with you publicly, if it is one person, two person, three persons, will be convinced with what I'm saying. So he believes that what he will gain people. So scholars will say, no, don't engage in that. Unless somebody that you see that he wants to know the truth. That is why he's debating with you. But the one who is debating with you to cause confusion, wallah, if you debate with him, you are what? You are spreading innovation. He is not ready to accept the truth if it's clear to him. And maybe somebody that has sweet mouth, for instance, there are people who are what? Who are foolish. That they will just fall for what he has said. If the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَلَعَلَّ أَحْدَكُمْ أَنْ يَكُونَ أَلْحَنَ بِحُجَّتِهِ من الآخر فأقضي له بحق أخيه على نحو ما أسمع من أو كما قال. That is, he was telling two people who are what? Who are in dispute. He said, one of you may be what? May be better in his presentation, in his argument than the other. Then I will give him the right of the other person because of what? Because of his presentation. So whoever I give the right of his brother based on his because of his presentation, he said it's fire that I watch that I've given to him. If the Messenger of Allah comes to say this, what about somebody who doesn't know anything? Say, I don't know any point now, I will come point you are. So it is very, very important. Tarkul khusumat, avoiding khusumat, useless arguments. Argument that you know, you yourself know that you are not searching for the truth with this argument. You just want to be known. If that is your intention, it is what? It is the khusumat that the scholars warn against. Or the person that you are arguing with, you know that this person is not interested in knowing the truth. So it's not somebody that you debate. Open if they say what? You are late, you are running away from the debate. Said yes, I'm running away from the debate. Why? Because I do not want to what? I do not want to mislead people. And that was actually Ibn Baz said to Al-Khalili, that this is what? A sha'atul bid'ah. What you have stipulated is spreading bid'ah. I'm addressing, if you have points now, you talk. If through you are interested in truth, you are discussing. Bring your point. But for you to say, okay, no, I'm going to debate with you, so let us. And you are not upon the truth. For you to be upon the truth, that would have been a different thing. Like what Prophet Musa والسلام, said to Pharaoh. Because he wanted the people to know the what, hollowness of what Pharaoh was upon. But somebody who is not upon the truth, stipulating to you that the debate should watch, should be, and you know that if you do that, it's like what you are trying to publicize the evil of that person. So the usul is that you shouldn't support that. But when you know that it's not going to Maybe you have the power, your presentation can outdo it. Then in that case, you may watch, you may support that. Or you see that maybe amongst them, there are people who are looking for the truth, as Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu did with the Khawarij. When he debated them, there were about 12,000, and about maybe 4,000 out of them recanted their position immediately after they listened to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. So if there is no need for that debate, or the person that you are debating is not interested in the truth, or you do not see people who are, if he is not interested in the truth, you do not see people who are what? Interested. If you see people who are interested in the truth, it will be because of them. Debate him the way Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam did. So tarkul khusumat is something that is very, very important. Check yourself when you are debating with people. And when you know that a person or some people are people who just like unnecessary arguments, don't waste your time with them. Don't waste your time with them. Today we have on social media, Facebook, everybody is doing reputation. Some people are looking for what? Attention. Not that they are interested in what? In knowing the truth. So somebody is seeking attention. Don't say you are debating with such a person. But you know that this person is interested in the truth, then you can debate with the person. Or there are people that may fall for what the person has said. You may watch, you may comment on it. So Allah a'lam. Alaykum salam. Now the question is with respect to slaughtering of udhiya. So slaughtering a cow, must it be seven people? No. It can be one person. One person can slaughter a cow with the maximum of seven. Maximum of seven. The same thing goes for camel. Maximum of seven. But one person can slaughter. But that of sheep, ram, and the like. So one ram is one person. It cannot be shared by two persons. So two persons can contribute money to slaughter one ram. So that's not correct. So maybe one should give the other the money to watch, so that it will be the one to have the ram. So but cow, one person can do, two persons can do, but maximum of seven. So which one is the best? Imam Malik alayhi rahmatullah says ram is the best, because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was said to have duha bi kafshayn hamla'ayn akranayn, that he slaughtered udhiya with two rams that are very horny, likewise very beautiful. So he slaughtered two rams. He said that shows that slaughtering of ram is better for udhiya, is the best for udhiya. So the others, they said it is camel that is the best, followed by cow, then ram, and the slave. So for the fact that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the Hajj, so he slaughtered about 100 camels. So he slaughtered 63 with his hands. He slaughtered 63. So he said what? Camel is the best. So this is with respect to the jumhur of the scholars. So but if you want to slaughter a ram, it's just one person. You want to slaughter a cow or camel, one person can do that. That is what we are talking about. If one person slaughters cow or ram or sheep, which one is the best? So normally said what? Sheep or ram is the best, followed by cow, followed by camel. Why the Jumu'ah said camel the best, followed by cow, followed by a sheep. So watch. Seven people or two people, three people, four people can come together to slaughter a cow or a camel. So definitely in this situation, the ram is better. Because the ram will be slaughtered by one person. Allah.
I think
can a teacher beat or punish a student because the student asked a question that goes against him? Where did the question the student ask the who did the student ask the question? Is it the teacher? So if the student asked the teacher the question that is against the teacher himself. So it depends. If his intention is to humiliate the teacher, that is not okay. So asking somebody the question that will humiliate him, and you say the person is your teacher, and you are asking the question that will humiliate him, so this is not good. But if the intention is what is to call his attention, or the intention is what is to learn, to benefit, to know whether that thing is okay or not. So there is nothing wrong with that. Because the teacher is here to teach and the student wants to know. But if the student already know that this thing is what is wrong, but he himself has the intention of humiliating his teacher, doing that is wrong. But if he has the intention of correcting the teacher, not the intention of humiliating the teacher, there is nothing wrong in that. Or if he doesn't know, he wants to know whether that thing is correct. So the teacher should also be appreciating that his attention has been drawn to something that is not that is he has been forget he has the maybe he has forgotten, so to say, so or is not cognizant of. So he should be appreciative, he should be grateful to the student, for not to punish the student or beat the student. But today we have a lot of students who may want to relate their teacher. That's the reason some of them will be asking questions, so that they make the teacher an object of ridicule. Not Allah la afiyat wa salam.
Now, the man, this is a child, is within 10-11 years that he is not very vulnerable. Of course, the person says that he can do the child. For example, a student stand up and start calling him.
Now, the issue of beating a student, particularly pupils, this is something that we should be very, very cautious of. We have some scholars who are of the opinion that a child that is not up to 10 years old, that you shouldn't beat him or her. And that is the view of Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah. His argument is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Muru awladakum bis-salah wa hum abna'a tabi'is-sinin." Command your children to observe salah while they are in seven. وَضْرِبُوْمْ عَلَيْهُمْ أَبْنَا عَشْرَتِنِينَ and beat them when they get to 10 and they are not praying. So it is they beat them when they are what, age 7 or age 8. If I didn't say what, command them to pray when they are age 6. He said, when they are 7. Because a boy of 4 or 5 or 3 asking the boy to go and pray and being harsh on the boy. This is what? This is punishment. Because the boy has not reached the age of what, 10 years. So if the boy joins you, you as a father or you as a mother, if he or she joins you, the child joins you while you are praying, no harm. If the child says, I want to perform ablution, mommy, no harm. But for you to instruct the child to go and pray, that itself is not in line with the teaching of the Prophet of Allah. Muru awladakum bis-salah wa hum abna' sab'i sinin. Then say, wadribuhum alayha wa hum abna' ashr sinin. So when they get 10 and they are not praying, then you can beat them. So the Sheikh said, this is what? This is the deen of our Creator, that is the salah. So if our Creator say, you beat them at age 10, with what has to do with his own right, why are you beating them before that age with what has to do with your own right? So there should be a way of correcting them, not by beating them. Why some scholars said, no, that is what ibadah. If the child will understand the beating, you can beat him. But it shouldn't be something that what, that will cause bruises on his or her body. That is, the child that is below 10, if he or she will not understand the beating, you can beat. But not as the one that will give marks. So, and this is the view of most scholars. Most scholars. So if you beat a boy of 7, 8, 9, so there is nothing wrong in it as long as the boy will understand. But you beat a boy of 3, 4 with a lot of abara and the likes. So this is what is not supported by any scholar. I will not tell you, maybe some of them are crying. A Sheikh Muhammad will say, let them cry. That cry has what? Health benefits for them. So, but for you to say you don't want them to cry, then you start beating. So it's like you are trying to compress something in them that should later affect them, so to say. So if a teacher is not doing that, that's the question. A teacher beating a boy of 8, 9, 7, so is that okay? So we'll go back to what you have just said. But when we look at the modern, what's it called? The modern position now, they say you don't beat, you don't flog children. So some parents, you beat their children, or you are in trouble. So a teacher may find himself in prison if he beats a child. So wallahu a'lam. Okay. Can the children of a man, okay, can the children contribute money to buy a ram for their parents? Now, it's the parent that has the ram, not them. What they've done is that what they have enabled the parent or the father or the mother to buy what? To buy a ram. So they are not the ones that have the ram, neither is the father. So Allah Almighty. Now, scholars who have the opinion that we can take the hadith from the innovators. So, as I said earlier, that scholars they differ on that. So, some said in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will not leave it in the hand, so we take it. So, as I said, they differ on that. Now, can we use this as evidence to say we can also take the ulumul ala, that is something like nahu, sarfu, balagha, and the like, from the innovators? So, the one who uses this as an evidence that you can, that is the issue of the hadith or something like that, bring it to this. The evil is that if this happens, what you are witnessing is what we witness. That is, people will fall for them. And that's why Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah said, if somebody is very strong in his aqidah, then he can learn from them. He can take the ulum al-ala from them, if he's strong in his aqidah. But somebody, how can you say somebody is strong in his aqidah? If you have the great scholars of the past, some of them were affected. So now that position is not something that is correct. Yes, the Sheikh said it, but it's not the position that what is convincing. So the correct position is that avoid them. Huh? But if you feel that you can watch, you can manage yourself, and you won't fall into, so that will be your own watch, your own cup of tea. But you think that a lot of people, they watch, they fall, a lot of people fall. So the reason why the scholars are always saying this is because of the evil that is watched, that they see, that nobody can watch, can contest that there is no evil. Nobody can contest that. So if somebody is avoiding learning from the innovator because of the evil that can affect him, so you don't blame the person. You don't blame the person. So, but the most important thing is that you don't get affected. That's the most important thing. Wallahu a'lam. What did he do? Okay. Now somebody is praying, is already in the last raka. Now in our police, in this gas. Is that your question? So what happens to his solar? His solar is initiated. So he will go and perform ablution and start afresh according to most scholars. So. Okay. Yeah. Now the.
I think after
post. Okay. After post testing, that is when it release gas. So here the solar is valid because one testing is what is rukun, is what is pillar. So according to most scholars. So some scholars said you must do the two taslim, but one is enough. So if one does one, so the scholar is what is valid. So Allahu A'lam. Now there is something shown to me here. I think the Yoruba people will eat it. So I've forgotten the name is something whitish or creamish, so to say. So maybe that walk, maybe the tree and the light. Is it permissible to eat it? Ogungu. Is it allowed to eat? No, it depends. Some scholars will classify it under al-khaba'is. Al-khaba'is. Or the, maybe the rodent, the, what do you call it, insects. So most scholars, they classify them as al-khaba'is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, watch, يُحِلُّ لَكُمْ يُحِلُّ لَكُمْ طَيِّبَاتُ وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثُ. So that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who make halal for them the tayyibah, things that are good. وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ, and who make haram for them the khabaith. So insects, the rodents, they are classified as khabaith by a lot of scholars. So most of those insects that walk on the crow, so they are what? They are khabaith. You don't eat them. However, in the Maliki school of thought, they are very soft on things like this. So to them, you can eat them. You can eat them. Because there is no text that prohibits them. And Allah said, "O to Allah, خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا." He's the one that has created for you all that is on the surface of the earth. So for somebody to say you can't eat a particular thing, the person will bring a text that prohibits it. Will bring a text that prohibits it. Now, we are not talking about dead ones, so they should be alive. Then you will be the one to not do the slaughtering. So you will be the one to do the slaughtering. But if they are dead, so that one is clear. Except what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-Jaraj, that is locust. It is only locust that the dead ones are what? Permissible. So, أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ دَمَانُ وَمَيْتَتَانُ. So, the al-tamak, al-hut, wal-jarad, the fish, and al-jarad, locust. But all these ones, if you want to go by the mazhab of the Malikiya, all those insects, those rodents are the like. So to them, you can eat them unless if you have a text that says you cannot eat them. Or if it is proven that they are what? They are poisonous. They are poisonous. So the Maliki school of thought, when it comes to what to eat, they are soft. They are soft when it comes to what to eat. But most scholars will consider those things as what khaba'is, things that you cannot eat. So it was said that Imam Malik alayhi rahmatullah was asked, can we eat snail? Can we eat what? Snail. So it doesn't say anything wrong in it. But some scholars will say, what, you can't eat snail because it falls under what? The khaba'is. It falls under the khaba'is. So there are a lot of things that we eat here, that it is only when we go by the mazhab of the Malikiya that what who have our way. We want to go by the mazhab of the Jumhur. So those things are not permissible. They consider them to be among the khabais. Oh, Allahu A'lam, I think, Allahu A'lam, we can eat it. Allahu A'lam. Subhanaka la umar. Subhanaka la umar. Alhamdulillah, ashara la ilaha illa an, astaghfiruka.